Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
And welcome to episode 215, the Take a Seat episode, because we are done, more or less, with sit-in. We really are. There are a few threads in the back that I definitely need to bury, but otherwise, done. I'm pleased with it. I talk about it a lot, so I'm not going to belabor the point here. And yeah, I'm also just looking forward to what comes next. Talk about that in the Quilt Diaries. Again, no need to belabor. What do I need to belabor at this point? Not much. It is October 6th, 2017. I'm sitting on the couch. Travis is by my side. He got groomed on Wednesday, I do believe. He looks fabulous. Even more importantly, he smells fabulous. He does look, and he always, when he comes back from the groomer, he comes back looking pretty, but a little vulnerable. I think it's because his legs, you realize how skinny his little legs really are. But, and 2 weeks from now, it'll look like he's wearing little puppy pajamas and furry puppy pajamas, right? And he will look his old manly, little manly self. But right now, he's got those big eyes and he looks at you like, I'm scared. I don't know what to do with all this lack of fur. I don't know what he's thinking. I'll tell you what he was thinking earlier today. He was very excited when Jack came home because Jack's home for fall break and we're so happy to have him back. It's going to be a quiet weekend. He's a little bit under the weather and I think Will is too. There's just a lot of bugs going around. It's been a nice October so far. It's been a very pretty fall so far, but it has been buggy. I'm feeling better. I had a cold a couple weeks ago, and it sort of played itself out last week, and I'm just at that stage where I'm fine, except every once in a while I have a coughing fit. So, yeah, but anyway, so I think we'll keep things quiet, kind of eat some good food and play some computer games. Not me, but other people in the family will, and watch some football. You know, just have a nice family weekend. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to doing some sewing and playing around with fabric. Yay. So having said all that, I think I will just say, let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. Do I sound stuffed up? Because I've got a little cold. I'm almost done. Sorry, I'm sitting down in my rocking chair. Oh, I'm on the porch. Me and Trav. The man is home, but he's napping. I need to plug in the porch lights. We keep Christmas lights on the porch. See, you're getting lots of good audio today. Me banging around, plugging in lights, etc. And I hope you're hearing the bugs. It's early evening. It's about 6 o'clock. It's Friday night. The man is napping. And Will is at the Duke game, or headed over there. We live very close to Duke University. And apparently, general admission tickets are cheap. They're like 10 bucks. Will hates Duke. Despises Duke, cannot stand Duke, but he loves college football. So he and his friends have been going to the home games. And this is a very unusual Friday night game. The Duke coach actually apologized, like made a statement about how he was sorry that they were playing on a Friday night, because of course Friday night is for high school football. We don't have a high school football team at our fine school, so Will is very happy to have a football game to go to, even though he's watching a team he despises. So, anyway, it's me and the man and Trav and the bugs. It's almost October. Can you believe it? And we're about to head into a period of beautiful weather. I can't complain about the weather. I don't complain about the weather. I don't even notice the weather. And yet, it's been a little bit warm after actually quite a beautiful late August and early September. So I feel miserly and petty complaining about the last week when it's been 90 degrees and it's too hot for me. But now we're going down into the lower mid-70s and I'm a happy camper other than this cold, which has not been a bad cold. You know, you get colds that really just overtake your body, and then you get the colds that just kind of stay right in your face. This is an in-my-face kind of cold. But it's made me tired, and I have not worked on sit-in this week because all I have to do is some repair work and trimming it up, right? Trimming around the edges to make everything nice and straight. And there is a little bit, and this surprises me because this is American-made brand fabric, but there is a little bit fraying around the edges, mostly because this is a quilt that has been flipped and flopped around quite a bit as I've quilted it. So I want to get rid of that fraying. I've got enough leeway that I can trim off that part of the quilt because I don't want it to continue fraying and for the fraying to come up under the binding after I attach the binding, if you know what I mean. You know. So you may not, because I'm not sure that's a clear thing, but run with me. You know, you can imagine it, right? You've got your binding on, and then there's just a few little bit of frays that are kind of work their ways up and out. Yeah, I'll let that go. But because I've had a fuzzy head, I've not wanted to do that work. And so I've actually been working on a star quilt, which I probably will call Stars Upon Stars, although it's not really a Stars Upon Stars quilt at all. Stars Upon Stars is the name of my book that's going to come out in the spring. That is a sequel to Birds in the Air. And it's a block that's sort of like a small Lone Star block. This, the quilt I'm working on now, I was just mostly messing around. And I was using prints. So much of the work I do now is with solids. But I have little bits and pieces of really cute prints. And so I just started making 8-point stars, which I like a lot. And I had this light gray fabric that I bought this summer. I had other plans for it, which I've since abandoned. So I don't know how many stars I've made at this point. Maybe 14 or 15. And that's what I've been doing this week. I mean, I've been functioning in the world, and I've gone to my meetings. I sent a draft of a middle grade novel that I've been working on. This is the third draft. I sent that to my editor on Monday. I've done a school visit this week, so I've been functioning, but I haven't really had a good brain to write, and so I haven't done a lot of writing, but I have done a lot of making 8-point stars using this cute fabric I have, these cute prints, and now I'm thinking about how I want to arrange them. You know, at first I was just lining them up in rows and, you know, just the way you do on your design board. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to do... my original thought was I'm going to do 6 across and 7 down. And these are... And I was going to have sashing. So they're really going to be 12-inch blocks, right? But then I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't know what I want to do. I do think I want separation between the blocks, but I just didn't want just straight across. So now I'm kind of messing around with that. I don't think I'll do anything wild or wacky, but just something that's kind of more visually interesting. And I do like the fabrics I'm using a lot, and it's fun because I'm using some fabrics that I really like, but just have not had another place for in my quilt. So I've been enjoying that a lot. And it's also just, you know, it's pretty simple stuff. And I love the process. I like cutting stuff up. I like sewing it together. I like ironing a lot. So anyway, that's been good. I've enjoyed that. But I am feeling less fuzzy today. So I am really hoping that Sunday afternoon may be my big afternoon for getting the binding on sit-in. And, you know, one of the things I've been going back and forth about is washing it. And then I realized, you know, I'm going to submit this to QuiltCon unless it's actually dirty, which I don't think it is. I mean, I've kind of tossed it around a lot, and I need to take a look at it. I may not wash it, because it's a big quilt for binding. You know, it's like it's wider than I am tall. I'm 64 and a half inches. I think it's 66 inches wide and like 86 inches long, and my design board is not that big. So I'm not quite sure how I would block it. A friend of mine suggested sort of blocking it in parts. So I don't think it's that dirty. I want to finish it and then take it outside and look at it in the light. And like, can this go without washing? Because if it can, I'm not going to. And it's funny because I even bought Retain and, you know, I was doing a lot of research and asking friends, what should I do? And da, 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 da. And I thought, wait a minute. I don't want it to be crinkly. So right now my plan is to not wash it. But yeah, it would be really fun to get that one all finished up. And I also got out Stellar, what I'm calling Stellar 2, which is just that sort of improvised back to Stellar that I decided I like so much I want it to be a front. And I got it out, and I realized the next, it's very close to being done, but then the one, I have one last hard thing to do, and I also need a clear head for that, so I haven't worked on that. But I've got a million ideas. I've got so many ideas. And what was I going to tell you? Well, I was thinking about prints and using prints, which I don't do, and how much I've enjoyed that. And it was funny because I'm seeing more and more prints in modern quilts. And for instance, today I went on Instagram and I did hashtag modern quilts, and so many of the quilts that came up were quilts that used printed fabrics. And that interested me. I mean, it's not a huge shock because obviously that's been going on, and you're seeing more and more fabric lines and quilts that and magazines that feature modern quilts. The only one that I get is Modern Patchwork, which is the Fonz and Porter magazine. One, because it's affordable. There's some really beautiful modern quilting magazines, but they cost a lot of money, and I'm not willing to spend a lot of money for what essentially are collections of pictures. As much as I like pictures of quilts, the fact is that the technology for viewing quilts online is pretty spiffy, and you can see really, really good pictures. And I'm going off topic now, I don't know if I'll get back to prints and modern quilts or not, but I did get the first issue of the curated quilt. Is that what it's called? Or is it just called curated? Let me see. Yes, curated quilt. It's the quilt magazine, new, published by Amy Ellis and someone else whose name is not familiar to me. It's quite beautiful. It was $18. If you actually subscribed, it's a quarterly. If you subscribed, which I did not, it's $15, but still hefty. It is quite beautiful. And they feature a lot of quilts. It's a magazine that the plan is that every issue will have a theme. For instance, the next issue's theme is log cabin quilts. This issue was, the theme was the line. And so all the quilts featured are linear quilts. A lot of strip quilts and quilts that, no curves. This is what we're saying. And a lot of the quilts are beautiful. Many of the quilts I've seen, and the quilt makers I'm familiar with, they're people I follow on Instagram, or they had quilts from QuiltCon. I don't know that there were any QuiltCon quilts in there, maybe. But, it's interesting because they're fabulous quilts. I saw any number of quilts that I thought were wonderful. I wonder about doing themes like that, though, because what happens is after a while, you think everyone's making the same sort of quilt. And you're like, well, yeah, because this theme is lines in the linear quilt. So, of course, all of these are straight line quilts or, yes, no curved quilts. Well, it's weird. Well, it's an odd thing to talk about that. You think about straight line quilting. To say straight quilts sounds weird. Quilts made out of lines, the lined quilt, but you know what I'm talking about, right? You do. Even if I don't, you do. You're smart. Run with me. Help me. But so what you see is a lot of stripes and a lot of funky, cool stuff. Again, these are quilts I love, but that was the only, I thought that is a drawback almost. It's like, oh, okay, because I feel like I'm seeing the same quilt over and over again, which I really was not, but beautiful magazine. Would like more written content, but that's what I want out of every magazine. And in fact, I got off of eBay the first copy. What do you say about when it's the first magazine? I don't know. Volume 1, Issue 1, first issue of Quilt Digest, which was a magazine that was done in the 80s by Roderick Karakoff and maybe Shelley Ziefert. And it's beautiful. It was $3.99 plus free postage from eBay. And I want to make sure it's called Quilt Digest. Again, I'm walking inside. I just got it in the mail today. And it is everything I think a quilt magazine should be. Yes, called the Quilt Digest. Now, no patterns, which is fine by me. I don't want patterns. But articles about... there was an article about, interestingly enough, the log cabin quilt, but a very deeply researched article talking about log cabins and life on the prairie and women making quilts, etc., etc. So it was really well done and very much in depth. Michael James, who is one, you know, very famous art quilter, had an article about essentially keeping your soul. When, as an art quilter, and the things you have to think about if you're going to do genuine work, which I thought was really, really interesting. And just, you know, because, I mean, he's really making quilts as art. He's not making quilts to lay across your bed. And so he's an agent, and he talked about how he didn't like selling through galleries because galleries just hiked up the prices so much. In any event, again, another in-depth article. And lots of pictures of his quilts that are, you know, fabulous and beautiful, and definitely will remind you a lot of modern quilts, although these are quilts that were made in the early 80s. There was a wonderful pictorial essay on the Amish and Amish quilts, and just all this really good content, writing. We are moving away from the written word. I had lunch with a friend of mine who's like a, you know, has a master's in philosophy and did a lot of work, and maybe it's all but dissertation for a doctorate in philosophy. And she said she finds it hard to read anymore. She's like, yeah, I can't read that much anymore. I think we're ruining ourselves as readers on the internet because we hop around so much. I do the same. I'm so happy when I read a book that really sustains my interest, and I'm finding that harder with fiction, although I just read a book called The Small Hours. Don't know the author. It's a new book. I just picked it off the shelf, the new books shelf section in my library, and I really liked it. There's a lot of tension, but it was, but it's a story about a family, about a husband and a wife, and it went back and forth between their points of view over the course of a day. And the husband has a secret, and they have moved out of New York City. I think when the story begins, it's like they moved out of New York City maybe 3 years before the story begins, and to think a New Jersey suburb, but it's a sort of a failing kind of town. It turns out it wasn't quite what they thought it would be. So, and money is tight, and they've been hit hard by the economy, etc., etc. And the husband has a secret, and it was good. It was really good. I was so excited to have a novel that I felt really caught my attention, and I was interested in the characters, and it felt very real to me. That was great. It made me happy. Yes, I will continue to write fiction. I will continue to look for fiction that I love to read. But, this has been a complaint of mine for a long time about quilt magazines. It's why I miss Quilter's Newsletter. Why I appreciate Modern Patchwork is because they do run some in-depth articles. Abby Glassenberg often has a piece in there, and I think she's a good reporter and a good journalist. So I will continue to support that magazine. But reading the Quilt Digest, it's like, it's beautiful. It's beautifully done. I'm sure it would cost $20 if it was put out today. People are writing long pieces about quilts and quilt making and being a quilter. I'm like, ah, heaven. If I had the time. Now, it's like, I love the idea of doing a magazine, but they are very expensive. You know, I don't think that Amy Ellis is trying to get rich off this magazine. It costs $18 because there's no advertising. I mean, that's part of it. But in any event, back to Prince. I can't remember now how I went from talking about Prince to talking about the magazine. But when I looked up Modern Quilts on Instagram, #ModernQuilts, yes, saw lots and lots of prints. And it's interesting. I'm always happy to see movement in this movement and see people trying new things, although, and this is how it works in everything in the world. There's nothing new under the sun and nothing unique to quilt making. You know, people start doing stuff. They're the thought leaders and innovators. And it's like, oh, we're going to do curves. We're going to do these sort of, what it seemed to me, I mean, these quilts I really like, but, you know, we're going to do curves. It's kind of, there's the way these shapes are being used. It has a kind of 1970s feel to me. Kind of like, I don't know, if you were a teen during the 1970s, as I was, and a teen, you remember the sort of, there's something very, is it Peter Max? There's something very Peter Maxian about the shapes that are used, and they're great, and I love these quilts, but now, of course, you see it. A helicopter just flew over my house. My guess, it's one from Duke Hospital. Sometimes they feel like they're so close to the house, like we're going to get hit. But and sadly, a couple weeks ago, one of the Duke Hospital helicopters crashed and killed everyone in it. Very, very sad. Anyway, so then you see all the curves. You see, but that, again, it's like that in anything. People get excited about new stuff and want to try it, and I'm excited that modern cultures are learning new skills, starting to see a lot of stuff about embroidery and quilting, and it's all very fun. And so people really incorporating a lot of prints, and maybe that's how I got onto magazines, was seeing pictures in magazines like Modern Patchwork, where, you know, there's the obligatory a couple pages with, here's new fabric lines from so-and-so and so-and-so, and I don't pay attention to fabric designers or fabric lines, but I like the pretty fabric. So you look, and of course a lot of it is prints now, because what are fabric, fabric designers can't just come up with new colors. Here's a new color of solid color. Yeah. No, they can't do that. So seeing the prints in the quilts, one of the things, it's very interesting to look and see where people are doing it really well and where people aren't. And one of the things I think that's happening is because also improvisation is so popular right now. You're getting a lot of prints and improv designs, and it's very, very busy. And you almost feel like, and what I'm seeing, scrolling through those quilts today, like, I felt like I was seeing so many quilts that had too many elements, way too much going on. I saw some cute quilts. It's like you need to, it's like jewelry. Take two of those pieces off before you go out of the house. Take two of those design elements out. It's too much. So that interests me a lot, that seems to be a pretty, to me, from my great lofty view on high, but, you know, just, and I know what I like, and I know some of it is taste, right? But looking at that, I mean, just looking at stuff, you're like, it's too busy. And it does get out of the realm of the modern aesthetic, that kind of busyness, which is okay, because there's no reason why you shouldn't kick down the walls and explore and experiment. So I'll be interested to see. It's always interesting to see what's going to happen next. Who's going to do what next? I don't know. Do you? I love thinking about this stuff and looking at this stuff. One of the things that's came up on Twilchers as far as what's happening next or what's not happening, what's fading out, what's coming in. Colleen, I think it was, posted on Twilchers about podcasts and blogs that have kind of faded. And she listed a number of podcasts that she loved listening to where the people don't seem to be posting very much. And, you know, I feel a great sadness about that too. And I'm always hopeful that people will come back, that people's lives, you know, they may not. I mean, our lives change. We're able to devote a lot of time to something, and then suddenly there's a shift, and we get a new job, or have a new baby, or somebody gets sick, and then that's that. But, you know, I miss people. I always miss Patchwork and Pacifiers, you know, which that was one of the first podcasts I ever listened to. It was like, I think that was Jen? I think, and then Sandy, Quilting for the Rest of Us, who I hope will return to us one day. She's working on a PhD. She's very busy, but I have my fingers crossed that she'll come back to us. And Allison Rosen, Within a Quarter Inch, who I still feel connected to, and partly because she lives in my state, and every once in a while we're in touch. And I know she's very busy, but I love Within a Quarter Inch. She was one of my first podcasts, quilty podcast, and I would love for her to return, but maybe she won't. I don't know. I just keep on trucking, even though, you know, when I think about when I started podcasting, which is now like 7 years ago, over 7 years ago, you know, podcasting, a lot of podcasts were homemade. And I feel like it's been in the last 2 or 3 years we've had this great boom in podcasts. And people are doing really amazing podcasts, really professional podcasts. And a lot of the new crafty podcasts are more professional and less homemade. And there's, you know, there's something to be said for that. You don't have to listen to people going, which I do all the time. And sometimes I edit out my ums and sometimes I do not. But in the professional ones, they do. I find that a lot of the newer crafty podcasts are interview based. And I really like them. I love, as you know, Sandy over at Crafty Planner. I really adored her recent series on documenting and preserving quilts and quilt history. One of the reasons I got this issue of the Quilt Digest was because the last person in that series was Roderick Karakoff, who is a very important quilt collector and historian. I don't know if he would call himself a historian, but he's got to be in his way, but certainly a collector and certainly someone who was very active in sort of the quilt revival of the in the 70s and 80s, and he was one of the editors of the magazine, and he mentioned it in this interview with Sandy. Anyway, so I love her interviews, and I think it's a great podcast. I love Abby Glassenberg while she's asleep. I think it's while she's napping. Anyways, Abby Glassenberg. And I think she does a fantastic job too. And I really like her newsletter. She has great links. If you're looking for a good newsletter to subscribe to, be sure to subscribe to mine, but also Abby's. And, you know, so there are plenty of really great new podcasts, but they're not the homemade kind. I don't know very much about Sandy or Abby. They don't talk much about themselves because that's not what they're about. And so I do miss the chatty ones. And I'll keep doing this. I'd love to get a few more comments just saying, yes, I can hear them in my head, but it's always fun to see them actually on the page, on the blog. So just come over to Off Kilter Quilt and say, yes, Francis, I'm still listening. Please keep podcasting. But even if you don't, I probably still will, because I really love talking about quilts and quilt making and Travis, of course. So, but it is interesting how much podcasting has changed in a very brief amount of time, how much great material there is out there. Material is not the right word, but how many great podcasts there are to listen to. I mean, you go to iTunes to podcasts, and it's just an embarrassment of riches in terms of what you can listen to at any given time. So it makes sense that maybe we homemade podcasters, quilty podcasters, we may be too busy listening to other people's podcasts to actually put them out ourselves. I don't think that's quite true, but we may be losing listeners a little bit. And that's okay. You're listening now, right? If you can hear the sound of my voice, you are listening to my podcast, and I appreciate you. All right, I think that is it for now. I hope that the next time I speak with you, which will probably be in the next few days, because I need to get this podcast up early next week to keep in with my 2-week schedule. I hope I'm going to say, yay, sit-in is done. I've come up with a brilliant quilting idea for Stellar 2, which needs its own name, because that will be my next project, I think. And also working on the star quilt. That has been fun, just to make stars. Stars upon stars. Stars are good. I think stars never go out of style. I think that's true. What do you think? Let me know. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Friday, October 6th. It's about a week since I last did a diary entry, and I do plan on having this episode posted today. Today is a very exciting day because Jack is coming home for fall break, and I'm trying to get ready kind of by cleaning up and making cookies, and I need to do the dishes. I need to go to the grocery store, but I need to make sure that I am home. I think he and the man will be back. The man went down to pick him up, and I think he and the man will be back, I'm guessing 2:33. And I want to be here because I want to see Travis see Jack for the first time in almost 2 months. So Jack, we took Jack down on the 17th of August. So I think Travis is going to just be so excited. And I'm not a big taker of videos. I don't know if you take a video, but you know, I'm not a videographer, and I prefer to, you know, experience my life as much as possible. Well, no, sometimes I would really rather not experience my life, but you know what I'm saying. I like to be in the moment when I can, and also I'm terrible at taking pictures and videos and stuff, but I have to say I may actually even try to take a video of Travis seeing Jack, because I think that will be a very exciting moment. Anyway, it's almost 12:30, and I need to do some stuff here, so I don't want to take too long, but I do want to tell you I finished sit-in. Yes. Okay, there are actually a few threads on the back I need to bury between you and me, but for photography purposes, it is finished. Now, you know, I made this decision to bind it with white fabric, and I think I am happy with that decision. When I finished it, it was finished, let's see, what is today? If today's Friday, I think I finished it maybe Tuesday night. Let's call it Tuesday night. And so Wednesday, I came up with a plan for taking a picture. It's a big quilt, as I've mentioned. And I thought maybe I will take, if there's some way to attach it to the brick wall outside of our side door, which is a pretty big expanse of brick, that could be really cool. And so my first thought was to try to duct tape it. That didn't work. You will be happy to know that I laid down a blanket on the dirt underneath. This is the patch of ground. There's actually usually monkey grass, but the man just mowed it down. So it's sort of very short monkey grass and dirt. But so I laid a blanket down in case the quilt fell, and it did fall, but I caught it. And then I had this idea. I have some of those, what will we call them? Hangers. Why don't we just call them adhesive hangers? You know, 3M puts them out where you can, they're kind of clips. And the ones I have are for inside, but I thought, you know, maybe they would work on a brick wall, and they did. And fortunately, I had a bunch because this is a big, heavy quilt. And that worked. And so I took some pictures, and when I looked at the pictures, I was not convinced that the white border was the right border. Not the white binding was the right binding. You might, I had considered maybe doing an orange or a red. And so, but I showed the picture to some people, and I had one friend who kind of agreed. She wasn't quite sure. That she said perhaps the quilt looked a little unfinished, but on the other hand, a color binding might be restricting. And that I actually ended up to the soccer team, JV soccer team potluck after the game on Wednesday, and I ran into a friend of mine who's a quilter. So I said, so I showed the picture to her, and I showed the picture to several people, and also the man, and they all were like, nah, they liked the white binding and liked how it kind of made the chair seem to sort of be floating in space. So right now I'm living with that. The other thing about the pictures I took is that I didn't really like them. I was excited to find a good outdoor expanse, but it's fairly dark space. It is, let's see, east. It's the northern side of the house. And so I was hoping that it would be sort of natural light, but not direct natural light, not direct sun. But, you know, between the monkey grass being shorn and the brick itself, it's a pinkish brown brick. It just wasn't as pretty as I hoped it would be. So yesterday I took the quilt out. I
got the quilt stands, which have been holding up part of my quilt studio upstairs, but we needed to straighten up Jack's room anyway and kind of break down the studio a little bit. So I brought those down, and you can raise the, so, you know, I have just the quilt. So it's a stand, and it's pretty basic technology, and you can raise the legs up so that it's pretty high up in there. It's like 7 feet. And I found a nice spot in the backyard. It was about 4 in the afternoon and got some nice light on it. And looking at those pictures, I don't have any issue with the white binding. So it may be when I first looked at the pictures, the ones taken on the brick wall, that I was feeling a little bit like, oh, this isn't a very pretty picture. And then, so when I took some pretty pictures, I thought, oh, it's very nice. And I've gotten some, I posted a picture on Instagram. I've gotten a really nice response. So, yay, but it's just good to be done and to think about what's happening next. And I, you know, I'm torn because I'm working on the star quilt that I talked about in the first quilt diary. But I also would really like to finish Stellar 2, Stellar Junior. And that actually is not that far from being finished. I have one hard piece left, one ray of white coming out from a triangle toward the center. And this is a design that my friend Adele, who helped me so much with the Bauhaus Birds in the Air quilt, she came up with this design, and I really love it. And if I had math skills... My goodness, someone is honking angrily outside. If I had math skills, I could probably do geometry and figure out exactly how to cut the fabric to make that angle. But I don't have math skills, so I'll have to do... There's one other ray of white. And I am saying ray of white, not ray of light, but ray of white on the other side. And it was just kind of hit or miss. Just kind of figure it out. It's not a bad thing for my brain to have to kind of work around, but I do realize if I could do geometry, this would be a cinch. Anyway, but once I figure that out, the rest of it is pretty straightforward. So it's also the other issue is laziness. Like, oh, if I want to work on Stellar Junior, I need to take all the star blocks down, which is, you know, it takes 15 seconds, and I don't know why. There's part of me that just resists doing that, but I am a very lazy person in a lot of ways. So, yay! Congratulations! Me, I guess, but it feels good. It's a good finish. And one of the nice things, I did post on Instagram, and I'm hearing from podcast listeners, which is so nice. If you follow me on Instagram and I don't follow you back, let me know, because I do want to follow my podcast peeps. But anyway, it's been nice because people are saying, I've been listening to you talk about this for a long, long time. So it's, you know, it's nice to see the finished product. So that's been cool. Anyway, so that's exciting. I'm excited, and I'm excited to move on to whatever's next. I'm also doing a little knitting, which I have not done in a long time. But, you know, I do this writing group with these four girls. They're still girls. They're easing into young womanhood. And last year for Christmas, I made them each a tote bag. And this year, I'm going to knit them Harry Potter scarves because I don't think they all love Harry Potter. The oldest girl, Madeline, I think, has just turned 16. And Ella and Anna are just about to turn 14. And then Charlotte just turned 15. And they're huge Harry Potter fans. The Harry Potter books are their comfort food. And I think Ellie reread them all this summer. But that's what they do. If they're in need of comfort, they pull out one of the books. And I don't think any of them have Harry Potter scarves. So I went to Joann's and bought yarn. And it's fun. Although when I sat down to start on the scarf, I realized I'd forgotten how to do the long tail cast on. And it took me a while. I had to watch some videos. And I was like, wow, it has been a long time if you have forgotten how to do that. But knitting is sitting, and sometimes you want to sit. We are watching The Man and I, the Vietnam War documentary series. We DVR'd it, and so we're just on episode 6 at this point. And it's really, really good, although I've had to take a break from it. It's been...
It's been an upsetting time, you know, just with the hurricanes and now with the shooting in Las Vegas. Earlier this fall, I started watching The Handmaid's Tale. I mean, like maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I found that I can only watch it in 15-minute increments. And now I've just decided I need to stop watching it. It is so upsetting to me. And I think that, you know, it's just, you've got to, it's hard to know how to weigh things out and how to deal with the news and real life and still be hopeful and loving and all of those good things. I am not sure how to balance that. I do know that, you know, as good as The Handmaid's Tale is, it's beautifully filmed. Beautifully filmed. I don't have to have that in my life right now. And, you know, having Las Vegas in my life right now, even though I'm a continent away from it and don't know anyone who was hurt or killed in it, you just can't help but feeling it. And, of course, just feeling for those families and the friends of the people who died and wondering why this keeps happening. And, you know, we don't need to go into any depth on gun control here. I support Second Amendment rights, but I also think there are a lot of guns that should not be in the hands of everyday citizens. Or, you know, there's some guns that I don't even think should be in the hands of soldiers. So I think we can do better. And I think the main thing to ignore is that voice that says there can be no change. It feels that way sometimes. It feels that way, you know, particularly after Sandy Hook. You think, if that didn't change the game, then nothing will. But we don't know. Maybe, weirdly, sadly, we had to get to a tipping point, and maybe this is it. But it's hard. It's hard living in a world where that happens and wondering why and what causes an individual to not just, you know, to want to hurt that many people. And in such a weirdly, and this will sound weird, but weirdly anonymous way, people he wasn't connected to, people who had done him no harm, that something in his mind was energized by the idea of doing what he did, and we know that he planned it. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about quilty stuff. Let's talk about some really good quilty news from out in the quilty world. One is that my Creative Corner 3 podcast just celebrated its first anniversary, so congratulations to Vicky. I guess we should say podcast anniversary. Vicky's doing a great job. She posts regularly. If you're feeling sad about the lack of homemade quilting and crafty podcasts, go listen to Vicky if you're not already. She also has a great Facebook group, My Creative Corner 3, in which she posts creativity prompts. And I feel like more and more people are getting involved in that and posting pictures in response to the prompts. It's really neat. I think it's really cool. And so definitely support Vicky. Go listen to her podcast. Check out her Facebook group. But I'm so glad that she's podcasting. And speaking of people who are podcasting, of course, we have to talk about Pam, Hip to Be a Square, who is not only podcasting, but doing a video TV show. The Stitch, Pam, don't kill me. It's great. Just look up Stitch TV show. And she and Lynn are doing an amazing job. And one of the great things about having a podcaster who has a background in engineering and math is Pam, she shows up, she has a schedule, and she does it. And so you can always look forward to listening to Pam on Friday. She's not podcasting, posting an episode every Friday now because of Stitch TV. But one of the reasons I mentioned Pam is I mentioned New Modern Patchwork, and which is now my favorite living quilting magazine. And she has a pattern in the most recent issue. It is darling, and it's just exciting to see her there. Yay! So congratulations to Pam. I also want to mention that our girl Krista Watson has a new book. You may have seen it or heard of it. It's Piecing and Quilting with Pre-Cuts. And that is Krista's specialty in terms of, in fact, she and her husband
own a shop that's all they deal in is pre-cuts. And she also, I was hesitating a bit when I said, oh, that's Krista's specialty, because of course most of us know Krista as a machine quilter and a teacher of machine quilting. I think she may have a webinar coming up on the Modern Quilt Guild site. I can't swear to that, but I feel like I saw something that said that. I hope that is true. One of my favorite Modern Quilt Guild webinars is Krista talking, looking at quilts from QuiltCon, I think maybe QuiltCon 2016, and talking about the quilting and why it's effective. It's an incredibly educational webinar and a great way to get you thinking about how to choose quilting designs. In any event, Krista's new book is out. It's getting a lot of great buzz. And Vicki and Holly Ann from, I want to say Sticks and Strings, and that is not right. I think it's String and Story. Holly Ann, don't kill me. I will put links in the show notes. So all these half-said things and wrong titles, I will correct. Holly Ann is String and Story. And then Kristen, Esser is out there. The three of them are doing a blog hop with Krista's new book, making quilts from the patterns in Krista's new book. And Krista's blog is, I believe, a simple handmade every day. Again, I will link. So you can see some of the patterns, and these quilts are very cute. And I'm not doing it quite yet, but maybe by next episode, I will have this up and running. I'm going to do a giveaway of this book. So definitely check it out. Check out these blogs and see these really fabulous quilts. But I'm so excited for Krista. She is a force for good in the world, and certainly in this quilting world, and a great teacher, a great speaker. So if she's coming your way, definitely try to hook up with her and take a class with her, or she has a class on Craftsy. So check that out too. So I just wanted to say some good positive things. There are good things going on in the world. You're going on in the world. Our quilt making is going on in the world. And I do believe that we are made to create, that human beings are creative beings, and I think we're oftentimes quite at our happiest when we are making things. We are born makers, and I don't know. I think that contributes some good to the world. Maybe I'm not quite doing a dot-to-dot connection, but I feel like when people are living fully as possible, are living creatively, are doing good work that makes them happy and makes other people happy, that's got to put something out into the universe, some really good energy. And that's what we need. And we really do. We need to figure out a way to get a little bit more love into the world. And I kind of feel like when we send our quilts out into the world, that's what we're doing. So I'm going to finish up here. Thanks to everyone who commented on the last episode. I hope you'll comment on this episode. Let me know that you're out there. Is there still an audience for homemade quilty podcasts? I hope so. Like I said, I'll probably keep doing it, even if just a few of you are listening. That's okay. We'll have a little club. You know, we'll get sweatshirts and hats. It'll be a lot of fun. But until the next time, I hope you are enjoying October. Man, I hope you are. I know sometimes life gets in the way of enjoying October, and that to me is really sad when that happens. But I hope that your life is cooperating with this month of great beauty and great promise as we get further and deeper into the cool weather of fall and changing leaves and the potential for, I don't know, fires in the fireplace and crisp and starry nights. We have an amazing moon right now. Do you have this amazing full moon? I mean, you do. But it's a harvest moon. It's very cool and wild looking. So October is good. I hope you're enjoying it, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.